Madam Chancha. Thank you very much, Chair. Dear colleagues, good morning. Delegation, good morning. And all those who are attending this meeting here in the room and online, all the men and women listening to us. Once again, I would like to thank you for all the answers you gave to yesterday's questions, and I would like to congratulate you on the satisfactory replies included in your report answering questions on paragraph 15 on management of COVID-19 in the prison setting. So my questions to you this morning will cover paragraph 20 and 27 of the list of issues. For paragraph 20, which is treatment of foreigners, particularly migrants and refugees and asylum seekers, the committee takes note of measures taken by the state party in the context of the COVID-19 pandemic in order to ensure that foreign nationals see their rights of residence respected as well as their social rights. However, the committee was informed that migrants in vulnerable situations, including isolated minors, were not properly cared for, especially during the first year of the pandemic. According to a source at the time, though the conditions in which the exiled people live are not dignified for a long time, we must realize that the situation of the exiled people at Calais has gone from bad to worse. Approximately 1,200 men, women, and children in Calais have seen their living standards deteriorated due to the brutal evacuations of several large camps. They were then fenced off in July 10th and 30th, 2020, as well as the dramatic drop in the provision of vital services such as the food distribution, access to water, showers, and others. Another source noted at the time that despite the threat of the COVID-19 pandemic, the authorities entrusted with protecting children in various departments, particularly in Gap, the Haute-Alpes, and in Marseille, were reportedly abandoning unaccompanied migrant children who then forced to live in unsanitary and overcrowded conditions, where they were unable to protect themselves from the virus or other diseases. So about 100 unaccompanied minors settled in tents in the Jules Ferry Square in order to make their situation known. Please comment on these allegations in light of the provisions of the covenant. Freedom of assembly and the excessive use of force. This is on paragraph 27. The provision of the national law enforcement scheme continues to lead to protests from journalists, in particular as regards the need to have a confirmed identification or certified identification to be authorized to wear protective equipment in the accreditation of journalists, despite a decision of the 20th of June 2020 of the Council of State repealing several provisions of this national scheme. And according to information we have received, journalists and the media organizations are facing increasing challenges in discharging their responsibilities, including restrictions on reporting, including potential abuses of power and other pressures that undermine press freedom. Reporters Without Borders stated that police allegedly assaulted several clearly identified journalists. Also, since the adoption of the pension reform on March 16, 2023, several journalists covering protests were subjected to violent behavior by security forces, of wrongful arrests, and other arbitrary measures. The following cases were mentioned to support these allegations. One, the case of Mr. Paul Boyer, independent journalist who was allegedly a victim of violent aggression by a baton used by a police officer belonging to the Brave M while Mr. Boyer was documenting the protest on April 23, 2023 in Paris. Then, the case of February 16, 2023, three journalists, Luc A., Apolline B., and Jean Act, representatives of the Quartier General, AB7 Media, and Ancrage, were reportedly arrested and deprived of liberty in Paris while covering a protests of high school and university students in Sorbonne. Then on March 17, 2023 in Paris, during a demonstration against pension reform, Mr. Paul Ricardo and Chloe Jens, journalist and a reporter for the media, were reportedly arrested and placed in police custody. Then, the case of Mr. Ricardo Pereira, independent journalist in Montpellier, who covers social media movements and states that they were subjected to frequent intimidation by law enforcement. Then, journalists in New Caledonia, who state that they are subjected to constant harassment for covering their riots. Please comment on these allegations. What measures will the state party take in order to better protect journalists and human rights defenders as they exercise their professions? What measures have been taken to implement the above-mentioned decisions of the Council of State? And please tell us whether the perpetrators of the aforementioned wrongdoings have been prosecuted, and if so, what is the outcome, including convictions and reparations? I look forward to your replies to these questions, and I hope the replies will be very detailed. Thank you.